Hello and welcome to Pokédex Pathfinders, where we explore the Pokédex at a leisurely pace. I'm Ben.
And I'm Andy.
On today's episode, we talk about numbers 92, 93, and 94, the Ghastly family.
And we discuss Mega Gengar and Gigantamax Gengar in Viva La Evolution.
Let's get to it. Number 92, we have Ghastly. It is the Ghast Pokémon. It is Ghost and Poison type. This is our first Ghost Poke, just for you.
We finally made it. It is our first and only Ghost Poke of Gen 1. Very exciting, because I will be revealing something you all may not know later in this episode.
I will fully admit to something I did not know. I did not realize that this was the only Ghost family in Gen 1. I couldn't name another one, but like in my mind, I just was like, yeah, there's a few Ghost families.
No, this Pokemon, which we'll see, is just so ubiquitous and has so many moments that it just seems like there are a lot of Ghost Pokemon. And I even started to look because I remembered Mischievous in Gen 2. I didn't quite remember who was in Gen 3. It wasn't really until Gen 3 that they really started expanding the pool of Ghosts.
This might be slightly controversial, but Dark and Ghost feel a little close to me.
They are very close, and I think that they started out closer than they ended up. I think that maybe they didn't quite know at first, because Dark-type eventually just kind of started to mean literal nighttime, not even necessarily evil or sinister.
Right.
But just actual nighttime, which I think is more appropriate.
To start us off for the bio information, I would like to ask you, get ready for this, a question.
Oh, here we are.
Is Ghastly a fart cloud?
This is a tough one because every part of me wants to say yes, except for one thing, and I'm going to immediately bring this to a Dex entry.
Okay, please.
Moon Dex states, although Ghastly is barely visible, when it's near, a faint, sweet smell lingers.
Ooh.
So because Ghastly smells nice, I want to say no, but maybe ghost farts just smell nice.
Like, since it's like the ghost of a fart.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, leveled up in its in the nether realm.
In looking at the anatomy of a Ghastly, I've kind of broken it down into two parts. And this will get expanded upon. To give them a name, we have the Sassy 8-Ball.
Okay.
In the middle.
The Cloyster, yes.
Correct. And then we have the Fart Cloud.
And the Fart, yeah. And yeah, and if you were to draw the anatomical depiction, that's what it would say.
I think that the Sassy 8-Ball is where all of the organs and like what it requires to be alive are kept.
Yes, all of the stuff that keeps, I mean, well, it is dead, but all the stuff that keeps it moving is within the little circle.
The Ruby and Sapphire Dex says, Ghastly is largely composed of gaseous matter. Okay, fine. That is the fart cloud, not
yes,
the Sassy
8-Ball. Primarily a nice-smelling fart.
Yeah, the it's the Sassy 8-Ball and the sweet fart. When exposed to a strong wind, the gaseous body quickly dwindles away. I feel like the Sassy 8-Ball is just constantly emanating this gas, this sweet fart, if you will.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Yeah, the middle part is putting out the gas.
Yeah, and I feel like that's almost like a contrail, but it's still somehow controllable.
I just love that there are so many Dex entries that reference the fact that this Pokemon gets blown away all the time.
That also means that, like, some of them also state that just the sweet fart cloud gets blown away. So at some point, if there's a strong enough wind, there's just going to be, like, a pile of Sassy 8-Balls in, like, a corner, right?
Yeah, it's just a naked Ghastly.
It hasn't had time to re-fart the rest of its body.
Yeah, it's got
to
work up its brand again.
We might be setting a record here for most number of times fart has been used in one episode.
If we could get a fart count going, that would be appreciated. But I want to talk about kind of the color of the gas, because obviously it makes me think of farts, but purple.
Will
is
you
kind
be
of
painting with the color of the wind?
Yes, exactly. We're going to paint with all of the various colors of the wind. But the purple, to me, for one reason or another, does give off this kind of ghostly vibe. Ghastly seems to most clearly represent the Will-O-The-Wisp. I don't know if you're familiar with this folklore, but I thought this was cool that this is something that kind of just can be seen across a lot of different cultures where a spirit is represented as kind of a ball of glowing energy.
We talked about this a little bit with Ninetales as well, remember?
Yeah, because you can see the Will-O-The-Wisp around them. And I just thought that this was cool as well, that scientists say that most likely the Will-O-The-Wisp is just bioluminescence.
Is it ghastly, a Ninetales fart?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Okay. I did see also...
Farted on a cloister, and there you go.
Yeah. I did see in Bulbapedia, praise be, there was some speculation that it was a reference to, and here we go, asterisk, because I'm going to absolutely destroy the pronunciation of this in a bad way. Yokai Sogenbi, which is the decapitated head of a monk whose head is doomed to wander the earth consumed by fire.
Some of the Japanese ghosts are the coolest ghosts of all time. I mean, so many of the yokai that I have seen written about in Bulbapedia and just other places in general are just some of the coolest things that you can find.
This is such an interesting idea with what we always talk about for stuff being somewhat of a spiritual poke or based off of real world legends, which I feel like we've gone quite a while without something along those lines. But it's so interesting how much this works in so many different cultures as well. Like, it is instantly recognizable as a ghost, even without the knowledge of that story of the monk.
No, and this is going to go through all of the different forms. I had said before with Alakazam how it's kind of the psychic type, and with a few of the others, but I mean, with this being the only ghost type, they really made sure to bring home the different cultural depictions of ghosts throughout these different forms.
So with that being said, jumping ahead a little bit here, the original sprites don't have the sassy eight ball.
The original sprite is absolutely incredible. I mean, I had not seen this sprite because I played Yellow, so I hadn't seen this until going back. But I mean, it literally is just the cloud with the angry face. And I would have been okay with it continuing that way.
That's what my question was going to be. Do you prefer this given the lore? I think it adds to the concept of the Will-O-The-Wisp, but the introduction of the sassy eight ball does seem to make it fit better with the story of the monk head engulfed in flames.
I think that this was just an unfortunate design limitation, because if you look at the red and blue sprites, I think it's just difficult to make out what it is because it is made of pixels. You know, they probably just made the decision, oh, it's just hard to see that small, and we need to give it just a more physical form so that you can just more easily see it. A sad reason, but I think that that is the reason.
You're probably right. Unfortunately, with the old design, the cynical answer usually is the most likely, but...
Can't see it. Draw a circle.
Last thing I wanted to talk about for Bio for Ghastly, there are several Pokedex entries referencing it engulfing people or opponents and just straight up killing them.
Oh, yeah. We're seeing this. Now that we're in the ghosts, we are fully in the area of death. We did not want to talk about death for so long with Pokemon, except with eating things, like we would see it with food, but they would really stray away from talking about things straight up dying until we get to the ghost pokes.
I want to drop the thread I was going down of how hard the Pokedex is going talking about straight up murdering other creatures. To follow with that concept, I don't think that Ghastly, I do think that they're talking about death, but I don't think that Ghastly is a ghost in terms of it being a dead poke.
Yeah, no, it's not an apparition, and that's where the Pokemon world gets very confusing, because it's going to kind of mess with things.
Yeah, I think that ghost Pokemon are Pokemon with ghost cells, but they are still alive and living. They are not ghosts.
Yeah, and we've seen it from a few different dexes too, that it's just something from another dimension. That's pretty much the only way we can describe it. It is a spirit. It's not really a dead thing, even if I joke that it is dead.
I don't even think it's a spirit, though. Because the reason I say that, when you go into the Pokemon Tower without the Sylph Scope, you can still see Ghastly.
Yes, you see it as a funny ghost cartoon.
No, you see it normal.
No, if you go in without the Sylph Scope, You get attacked by the weird ghost.
But the weird ghost is the Marowak. The Ghastly still looks normal.
Oh, right, right.
If you need the Sylph Scope to see the ghost of the Marowak and you don't need it to see the Ghastly, I really think it's just a regular living animal, but it they have named the cells as ghost-type cells within this universe.
Yeah, I see what you're getting at, and I think that it's that you have to think of the ghost type as more of like a nickname. If we're humans looking at the Pokemon world, Pokemon are things we don't understand. I think it's like psychic types. They simply don't know what they are. And so, this is the way that they have decided to categorize it.
So you think ghost almost is a double meaning within the Pokemon universe of ghost type and ghost, like actual ghosts, because they just needed that as a representation because it's the closest they could think of.
Yeah, it's almost like ghost in quotations, because if we look at just ghost Pokemon through all the different
ghost
generations.
Ghost laser.
Yeah, I mean, they've gone a little bit more literal in the more recent generations, but in these middle ones especially, it's not. It's just something that is mysterious that a human would not be able to describe any other way.
Yeah, I just was thinking about that, and I was like, I really don't think that a Ghastly is a dead Pokemon or something.
No, I mean, I've seen a lot of memes saying like
a specter or anything.
Yeah, like, oh, if you kill this Pokemon, it becomes a Ghastly, but clearly not. I mean, Ghastly is, first of all, well, it's made of gas, so it's not.
Except the sassy eight ball.
Yes, except for the 8-ball core. But I mean, they say like maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's spirits that have formed, but still, you're still forming a new thing.
By that same logic, like the biodegraded parts of plants on Earth, I guess technically are what makes up like other organisms on Earth, but we wouldn't say it that way. Like,
yeah, like it's how people say that like we are corpses animated by electricity running around on a rock. I mean, we can say a lot of crazy things to describe things, but
it's so deep, man.
Some things are just have science behind them.
Yeah, there, that's the science. Electrified
corpses.
We're
electrified meat puppets, man.
By the way, quick shout out, Pokemon Tower. Since we were talking about it for the Sylph Scope, definitely one of the eeriest places, and I think that Ghastly really adds to that, and one of the coolest places to just go in the game. Very memorable.
Oh, really? Like, yeah, really like going to the tower. Lavender Town in general. I've talked about how good the music is at being eerie, and it's cool Ghastly essentially gets its own area in the game. In Yellow, you do fight Team Rocket in the tower, which does kind of bring me to it will not bring me to that until later. So
two other final notes I wanted to make about the game. One, extremely memorable in-game cry. The sound effect is, it lingers, we'll put it that way.
I have to say once more, I usually played the game on mute, so I don't have as fond memories of the various sound effects.
My strategy was to annoy the bejesus out of my mom, so blare it.
Yes, I tended to be told to turn it down, or forgot my headphones, so...
Given what this Pokemon looks like, it made the, and just how it's almost conceptual in a way, it made the transition to 3D really well.
Yeah, this is one of those that just, it just works well in 3D. I think because it's already a little bit shapeless, so they could kind of do with it what they wanted to do. Now, I do have two pieces of media that I just wanted to bring up real quick.
Yeah, please.
I was going to talk about the tower, but I'm actually not, because Ghastly debuts in an episode prior to that that I wanted to bring up first. So Ghastly comes out first in episode 20. It's called Ghost of Maiden's Peak. This is an incredibly creepy episode where Brock and James both separately see a girl waiting on a pier, and she suddenly disappears. And a man tells him about the maiden who waited so long for her lover to return from war that she turned to stone.
She turned into a Ghastly? Oh.
Well, that's the thing, is that turns out a Ghastly is impersonating the maiden and tricking men into falling in love.
Oh.
And they end up battling the Ghastly, and it uses really weird tricks, including summoning a mongoose to fight.
Speaking of, I have an uncomfortable breeding pair. It is Brock.
Well, Brock's an uncomfortable breeding pair with the entire line. but yeah, the Ghastly uses a mongoose, which shouldn't exist in the real world there, so...
Oh, weird. oh my god, what if Gastly is actually from like our universe and it's just able, like ghost Pokemon?
Yeah, Gastly's like an IRL creature.
Yeah, and they can bring like real animals over from our world.
It at least knows about real animals. But one last thing. So Gastly is also in Pokemon Adventures, and this is where we do see the Pokemon Tower, is a Gastly possesses Blue into fighting Red, so that's Gary fighting Ash. It turns out that Koga sent out Gastly to take control of Blue, because in the manga, Koga is part of Team Rocket, and Team Rocket uses right. the base. So it was very strange how sinister Pokemon Adventures was willing to get.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I've seen some of the artwork from that one with the Haunter, and they look a little scary in that.
Super creepy in that. It's probably the creepiest of them all, especially because, yeah, a gym leader basically said, go take out some kids in this case.
I have a quick question just to wrap it up for Gastly. More so for this poke than the other pokes in the line. That's why I wanted to ask it before talking about the family. Would you consider Gastly to be real world analogous? We've been kind of in a range for a while of like real world analog pokes. I don't know. For some reason, this also just feels like, sure, it's not of like a real thing. It's like a Pokemon version of a ghost, but that's something that exists. I'm putting very harsh air quotes on that in our world. And this is just a Pokemon translation of that. Like,
yeah, I mean, to me, this is falling into that category of kind of mythical folklore based stuff like Ninetales, how we had talked about. Yeah, I mean, if you want to make the assumption that ghosts are real, then this is something that could exist in the real world, and it's a Pokemonified version of a real thing.
That's a good way to put it. Like, if ghosts were the way that we conceptualize ghosts, like, was a real thing, then this would be a real world analogous. And it's hard to be like, it's real world analogous, but based off of legend or whatever. I don't know. It was just.
But it's the same deal as, like, if we talked about fighting dragons in medieval times. And it's the same deal to me with, like, Charizard. It is an analogous thing.
Let's talk about some cards to wrap it up real quick for Gastly. Base set. This looks like a screenshot from an N64 game. Also, it is just doing graffiti in an alley.
This card always just confused me so much. I always wanted to figure out what the graffiti was. I could never figure it out. But Destiny Bond is really cool. And I have to bring up that up until Dark-type, none of the ghosts had a weakness, which is pretty cool.
Oh, true. All Gastly cards kind of look the same. There's not a lot of variety.
I think that there must really only be one way to draw Gastly, because they do pretty much all look the same other than the look on their face.
That's probably a good point. Like, you can't put them in different poses or anything like that. It's still just a fart cloud with a sassy eight ball.
And, I mean, you can put them with, like, different settings, but it's always like a back alley or stairs.
The old back alley Gastly.
My favorite kind.
Was there any cards you wanted to talk about?
I just wanted to bring up the gym challenge one, but specifically the Sabrina's Gastly, where it is sneaking up on a Slowbro. Very strange. Again, back alley, but we see the shadow of a Slowbro around the corner.
Oh, that's what that is.
He's sneaking around the corner.
I had no idea what that shadow. I just never thought about it until now, but yeah, that's pretty cool.
Oh, I always liked the cards where it's featuring an additional Pokemon. It's a 2-for-1. And the only other card I wanted to bring up is the Neo Destiny one, just because of how artfully it's done out of nowhere, where the gas is kind of blending into the sky, and it has like a very watercolor look to it. It's just like a very interesting look.
That one's also like the sassy eight ball is very separated from the sweet fart.
That's what I mean. It's a really weird look to it.
Number 93, Haunter. It is also the gas Pokemon. No, it's not. It is ghost and poison type as well, and it evolves at level 25.
Now we have to get it out of the way. I have to get my biases out of the way. This is my favorite Pokemon. We have finally made it here.
Okay. All right. I don't care about the rest. That brings me to some very interesting questions that we're going to talk about right now.
This right here
for the family.
Is my favorite Pokemon.
Not Gengar.
Not Gengar. Haunter is my favorite.
First note I have for Gengar, I was going to be like, I want to come out of the gate swinging. Is this your favorite poke? I really thought Gengar was your favorite poke.
This whole line altogether, I will say, is my favorite line. But when I pick one, okay, I go with Haunter.
I have a note right here that I am going to read verbatim because I'll send you the screenshot if you want, because I don't want you to think that I'm changing my answer or anything. I wrote, uh-oh. I know this might sound controversial. I might like Haunter more than Gengar.
Oh, it's not controversial at all. It's actually the correct choice.
All right. Reddit's favorites.
There is a reason for it, but yes, hit me with the favorite
Reddit's
poll.
Favorites poll before you share your reason, because I'm very curious to hear yours. Gengar is the number two poke of the Reddit's favorite poll overall.
Makes sense. It's only second to Charizard.
It's the second most popular Pokemon. It's everywhere. I mean, we'll get into it a little more when we talk about Gengar. It's going to be hard to differentiate Haunter and Gengar in a lot of ways. Haunter is still number 41.
Also makes sense. You see definitely a lot of merch of this entire line in general. So I wouldn't be surprised with any of these being somebody's favorite poke.
Tell me why this is your favorite.
For me, for
Gengar.
Haunter, this is going to sound silly, but it's just the floating hands. I just really like the floating hands. It makes it look very menacing, and it makes him able to move in a way that is just more interesting. We'll get into it with Gengar, but Gengar is like kind of playful and mischievous, but Haunter is just... it just looks badass. And the way that it's kind of pointy, it has those like angles on its head. I just always thought it just looked more sinister.
I agree.
It just looks very cool. As far as just a straight up design, and if I'm just looking at a ghost, for me, this is just the coolest one.
I definitely like Haunter more. I was going to mention, though, I feel like a neat aspect of this family line is... it almost feels reversed. It becomes more tangible as it goes. It starts out a cloud. It turns into like floating face and hands. And then it kind of turns into like a creepy ghost doll, for lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah, it's like materializing.
I do agree with you that the Haunter is definitely the scariest and most intimidating stage.
Yeah, the Haunter just looks scary. And the Haunter for me is kind of the most based off of like your typical... ghost. Like, if you just think of a ghost and how they look in your head from just a popular depiction, this for me is it.
Especially in some of the early media and the manga and everything, it's pretty intimidating. But I kind of think that based off of the early sprites, I think that this thing was supposed to be a little more... a little less constrained, a little more amorphous. Like, I don't think it was supposed to be that same exact shape every time. I think it was supposed to be more of this spiky
kind of
specter
blob
with hands, but it still feels a lot more tangible than a Ghastly.
Yeah, it's getting there, but the hands for me just give it a feeling of movement, and it's what allows it to have so many like different combos of art.
And also the hands add such a level of creepy to it. I don't know how to describe it. Like,
it's floating hands are creepy.
A ghost that could grab you, you know?
Exactly.
However, it's not going to grab you. Yellow.
Go ahead.
Because here's the drawback of Haunter. The yellow Pokedex states, by licking, it saps the victim's life. It causes shaking that won't stop until the victim's demise. Again, here we go. We're just straight up murdering people.
We're out here killing people. This is one of my favorite features of the entire line, and it's also why I like the OG Golbat, the big old tongue. It's so
why
funny.
Why licking?
Because it's funny. Nobody wants to get licked by a ghost. It's nasty.
I mean, it's definitely nasty, but like, I could not find any references where there's a famous story of a Japanese ghost who went around like licking people to death, or like... a kid who was a big fan of lollipops died, and he got his revenge by treating everybody like a lollipop.
You're
or
the
something
lollipop
like.
Now. I think that this one is one of those, unfortunately, with a more mundane explanation. A lot of these Pokemon were assigned attacks as a way of balancing them, like within the game. With the designs, a lot of times they had to kind of describe it in such a way to make it make sense, and that's also why some Pokemon have moves that don't make sense for them, is because their design got edited later on. So I think that this Pokemon was just always intended to have the move Lick, so they had to kind of shoehorn in that this Pokemon licks people.
Yeah, but they like really double down on it. There's multiple... Pearl and Sword both make a reference to the tongue being gaseous. Like,
this is probably the second
really
most
into
premier,
the tongue.
Yeah, second most premier licking Pokemon.
Third.
Who would be number two?
Golbat.
Well, they took away the tongue. So I'm counting him as number three.
Oh, you're right. Oh, my God. In my mind, Golbat still had
still
like,
has the insane yeah. tongue. Exactly. I like the Pokemon with the crazy tongue. It makes them very silly.
Bring back crazy tongues.
I just had to bring up that I just have no idea why Ash's Dex in the show has no info on Haunter. His Dex literally says,
really?
Haunter, a gaseous Pokemon, no further information. We have had information.
I kind of like that. That actually adds to it being even cooler.
It's very fun, but I'm like, come on. I mean, we've seen everything. I'm like, the craziest stuff, we still have entries on it. Someone has still seen it. You're trying to act like Ash is the first to see this Pokemon ever?
Oh, I don't think he's the first to see it, but I don't think anybody could really describe it, you know?
They're just like, I don't know.
Or they didn't survive.
Oh, yeah, they just got licked.
My God, everything is so Haunter slobbery.
Can definitely lick you, but then you die. We don't know anything else.
Yeah, it's really hard to get descriptions from people because they've all been centrally licked to death.
Convulsed. Killed.
Convulsed?
Yeah.
What?
They convulse. That's the whole thing. It like gives them a seizure. If I may, the silver,
oh, please.
Silver Dex,
yeah, go ahead.
Its tongue is made of gas. If licked, its victim starts to shake constantly until death eventually comes.
All right. You do get convulsed to death. I don't know if that's actually a word.
Oh, no. No, it is not, but...
Okay. I was going to say, I'm pretty sure you can't be convulsed.
Fine. You be shaken from that Haunter tongue.
Beshaken, it's like besmirched.
Yes.
He beshakened me upon the licking.
Perfect.
Stats aren't terrible for this poke. They're not great, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this was probably the final evolution that a lot of people ended up using.
I was going to say, I think that only adds to my liking this Pokemon, but because generally if you didn't have...
That was going to be my point.
Yes, if you didn't have somebody willing to trade with you, this was as far as you got.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It had really good typing, and it was immune to physical attacks.
Incredible typing. Yeah, because it is... floating, unlike the next guy, it has 3 immunities and 4 resistances.
It had to be pretty good. Agatha of the Elite Four used one, again, proving it's pretty viable. The only other Elite Four member who used a not fully evolved poke was Lance with the Dragonairs.
Oh, yeah, there we go. But think about that. It's also because it's the only poke of that type, so they also just had slim pickings.
I definitely thought of that. And didn't just dawn on me that there was only
that there's only one
ghost. Line. And that's why it also only happened with the dragon.
So cool that you can't tell.
I thought that they were like, yeah, I mean, Haunter, we got to get that one in there too. Come on, add that guy in there.
No, I have to give the shout out though to Arceus Legends for finally making it somewhat easy to evolve the Haunter into the Gengar when you want to, because when we had Sword and Shield, we did trade and get, you know, and do the Gengars, but with
you could
Arceus,
also just find a Gengar in the field.
Well, yes, eventually, but
that
for,
was so disappointing.
Well, that's the thing, is for Arceus, you found a Gastly really early, and so I made it my mission to find one with the right, I want to say disposition, I know now I'm like forget the right nature, that's what it is.
Oh, there you
go. Gastly with the right nature so that I could have it on the team immediately, save up for the link cord, have a Gengar the whole time.
I know this is going to sound a little gatekeepy, and I apologize for that, but I don't like the addition of the link cable. At this point, it's so easy to trade with other people in games, and you can do it wirelessly and everything like that. Now should be the time where more pokes are having to be done via trading. Back in the day, it was like you had to be a freaking rocket scientist and have Farines or Farines or Friends or whatever they're called to be able to get these Pokemon.
Humans with additional Game Boys. Now, I will say that I actually really liked it in Arceus for the sole reason that Arceus is not considered a mainline game. So I'm like, fine, if you want to call this a side
all
game
right,
and we want to do this just once because it's the past, so you have to have your own Nintendo linking cable for some reason.
I think this episode will be coming out after Professor Plum and Colonel Mustard or whatever is coming out. I'm pretty sure we've seen Gengar.
Yeah, Gengar
in...
is in the launch, the teasers, but I am sure that a linking cable is not going to be available in that game.
The Japanese name for this poke is just Ghost.
Perfect. Done.
That's the same name as it would be for the typing. That's Yeah, gotta be the only instance of having the same name for a like as the typing.
I was gonna say it's also too confusing because even though it was the only ghost then, they should had to have known that there was gonna be more ghosts later.
Do you think that there would have been more? Do you think that they were planning on that?
I think that at the very least they knew they were gonna do a sequel. I don't think that they thought they were gonna still be doing it 25 years later. But I think when they had the 151, they were like, we should plan at least a few extras in case this thing takes off.
Because that's the thing, is they made this one named Ghost. So it's like, okay, that seems like they wanted to just be like, all right, this is the ghost. But
yeah, they're literally being
also,
like, this is Ghost.
Why would they make an entire type just for one Pokemon? Like, that to me sounds like, okay, we'll add more later. This is Ghost for now.
I mean, that's what I found confusing about the game as it came out in general. Even as a kid, I was like, well, there should be kind of the same amount of every type. It doesn't have to be exactly the same, but I was like, there should be roughly the same.
I feel like that's why Gyarados and Charizard were so confusing, that neither of them were dragon.
Some of them just should be, and I didn't want there to be one dominant poke. I mean, I always wanted there to be, you know, several of each.
Haunter, this is a rare instance, though. Haunter is still the best name.
Haunter is a great name because it's telling you what it does. It is a Haunter. It also sounds like a nickname to begin with. Like, if you were a kid and if you had a ghost that was fighting for you, Haunter could just be a cool name to call it.
Yeah, like a hunter, but it's haunting. Spooky. Well, is there anything else you want to talk about for Haunter before we talk about cards?
So I do have a couple pieces of anime data to talk about.
Ooh, anime data.
Oh, yeah. It's like game data, but it's for the anime.
And then after that, we have anime Worf and anime Geordi.
Oh, we got everybody in here. But this Pokemon does not debut in the same episode as Gastly. This one we don't get till 23, Tower of Terror.
Like the Disney ride?
Yes. And actually, yes, it is supposed to be named after the Disney ride.
Oh, okay.
For the American.
Okay.
After getting his ass beat by Sabrina, Ash has to go to the Pokemon Tower to catch a ghost type because he's starting to learn about what type advantage means. Somebody tells him you should go find a ghost. So this is now where we see all three of these Pokemon hanging out. They are just watching TV. They're watching like stand-up comedy or something. And they just start to mess with Ash and just like pranking him. He tries to battle them until he realizes that they are just kind of looking to have like innocent fun. They're not actually looking to fight. Haunter agrees to join Ash. So he doesn't catch it. It agrees to go fight.
Gotcha.
Episode 24, the following episode, Haunter gets its own episode. Haunter versus Kadabra. The whole idea is Ash is going to use Haunter to battle Kadabra. It's going to be this big smackdown. I was very excited for this as a kid. Of course, they ruin it. He does not battle. They cannot get Haunter to battle. Pikachu has to battle. Pikachu is pretty much defeating Kadabra, but then Haunter makes Sabrina laugh. So she forfeits and gives him the badge, which is so lame.
The anime has the least climactic way
so
of
lame.
People
like,
winning the battles
I
ever.
I was so excited to watch like a real Pokemon fight between some incredible pokes, and then they just won with the power of friendship, and then of course Ash leaves Haunter there.
Yeah, boo, nerds.
Nerds.
Let's talk about some cards to wrap it up for Haunter. This is another poke where all of the cards kind of look like they're in a Beastie Boys video.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're definitely asking what you want. also, every Haunter card is awesome.
Okay, give me your top ones then.
The best Haunter card of all time, top number
Ooh.
One.
Okay.
I didn't actually think to rank them, but this one is very cool. The gym challenge, once again, Sabrina's Haunter. It's just so cool that it's like chilling on a roof. You got the
It's
full,
very Halloweenish.
Very Halloweeny. Full moon, you have kind of an after image of a Haunter in the background, so that's pretty cool.
I like that thing a lot.
You got the fossil version of Haunter, which is a hollow.
All right, just state all of mine. That's cool. I thought that was also kind of indicative, too, of how much they wanted to emphasize Haunter with that also being a hollow.
Well, and also, like you said, I mean, if this was the main interaction you had with this family, it would make sense that you would want this as kind of the holo cool card. The Poke Power
which do you think
on this...
It, which, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say the Poke Power on this is the one on the recent Dragapult card, which is very cool.
Which do you prefer, base set or fossil?
I was having a lot of trouble with this because for nostalgia's sake, the base set is better for me. I always just really loved the art And I always thought Dream Eater was such an awesome attack. But as far as like the art being better, the fossil art is better. It's not a weird computer generated image.
Yeah, it's actually really cool looking. I actually almost like the non-holo more.
Yeah, because you get to see the cool like purple sky. But no, I mean, in the 90s, I liked the computer generated, but now it looks kind of awkward.
It does. It's another one that looks like it's straight out of like Mario 64 or like... It looks like the ghosts of Whiz Pig that fly at you in the Haunted Forest in Diddy Kong Racing.
Yes. It just looks like it's like chasing you in a dream you once had. I don't know.
Shout out for the three people that got that reference because they actually played Diddy Kong Racing. Somebody
is cheering in the background for that one.
All right, number 94, Gengar. It is the Shadow Pokemon. It is Ghost and Poison type. And it evolves when traded. It's been a while.
Gengar is still incredible. I don't want to knock Gengar.
No. Oh, yeah.
I don't want to tell people it can't be their favorite. It's just that simply Haunter is my favorite. That is the bias.
So on the note of it being traded, before we get to bio stuff, I quickly want to talk about this with the trifecta of Machamp and Alakazam.
Yes, and Golem.
Oh, you think it has to do with Golem, too?
All four... Of the trade Evos.
I kind of have this weird thought that were they going... I can't find anything about it anywhere to back it up. I could even lump Golem into this, but I would like to postulate that they were going for mind, body, and spirit.
Oh, 100%. I was thinking more in terms of kind of like the game that maybe they wanted to do like two for blue, two for red. The ultimate trifecta is... Machop, Abra, and Ghastly. Like you had said before, the most incredible alternate world ever is where these three are starters rather than fire, water, and grass.
I also think that you could wrap Geodude in there and say like, okay, mind, body, spirit, earth. I mean, it's just a giant
and people
rocky
who are
globe.
Ready to rock.
Yeah. Mind, body, spirit, and rock and roll, rock. Baby. Careful, all of the really intense 50-year-old men in Middle River just got super excited.
Oh, yeah, brother. No, I don't think that any of these are version exclusive. Maybe, I mean, clearly I've already forgotten about them, but that is kind of the vibe that I had originally got, is these are supposed to be, you know, your premier Pokemon, your pseudo-pseudo-pseudo-legendaries, where these were supposed to be kind of like, you know, the big ones you were going after for your team.
And you had to work quite hard to get them.
You had to give up on them. These were the four that you just didn't get.
Yeah. These are the four pokes where I hope you're happy with the stage
These
one.
Were the ones that made it so you got 147 Pokemon in your decks.
I want to do something a little different for biology this time.
Okay.
Honestly, everybody's so familiar with Gengar, us included. Of course, this is another mascot.
Everybody
poke.
Knows Gengar.
This is a mascot poke. Like this is,
and this is
there.
Like the, like I talk about cute versus cool. To me, this is like one of the cool mascots, like Charizard.
Charizard and this are like 1 and 1A, and clearly given some proof through the Reddit's favorites poll. With everybody knowing everything about Gengar, I didn't write down any Pokedex entries.
Oh, interesting.
I thought, obviously, I know the Poke, but I don't know the Pokedex entries. I don't have them memorized or anything like that. So if you had some, I know we normally write some down. I want to like blind react to some of these intense Pokedex entries. I mean, you tell me which one and I'll read them along with you. And I think that'd be just an interesting way because I'm sure they're going to be over the top.
They 100% are. And I do want to tease some of them up because...
Oh, please.
First of all, I didn't really know that this was the inspiration, but one of the inspirations behind Gengar is the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland, that smile and the fact that this can kind of fade out. And I think that that's just very cool. I do think it's...
That makes sense.
It's a little stretch because it's only kind of within the face, but I think that's cool. But the main thing with Gengar is that it is literally just a personified shadow. There's only really a couple things that they like to say about Gengar, and one of them is that it hides in people's shadows. To steal the life of its target, it slips into the prey's shadow and silently waits for an opportunity.
So this is like Black Ops Pokemon.
Yes, it creeps up on you, it waits for the opportunity, and again, it does literally kill you.
Is it a shadow itself, or does it like to be in the shadows?
I think it's the personification of a shadow, and so it's like a shadow guy. Like, it has the ability to be in shadows.
Or is it something where, like, it can absorb your shadow so you can't even see it, and then, like, that's how it kills you?
Yes, it is creeping in those shadows.
It's another back alley Ghastly.
Exactly. And the only other Dex entry I have references another, like, common phenomenon people like to talk about with ghosts, which is that it cools down the area. It becomes cold when it's around. So this is from the X Dex. It says, okay. It hides in shadows. It is said that if Gengar is hiding, it cools the area by nearly 10 degrees Fahrenheit.
How big do you think that area is?
probably not far at all. like an arm's length.
I was going to say, is it like an entire city block, or is it just...
No, this is like a very, this is a very short radius. It just reminds me of all of those various ghost hunting shows where they say, oh, I felt a cold presence.
And somebody's off camera going, oh my God, I'm so startled.
My other piece of trivia for Gengar, I guess this isn't even bio, but this is Ken Sugimori's favorite Pokemon.
I saw that, and I mean, I totally get it.
It's just fun finding out, like, who the creator's favorite Pokemon are.
I want to come back to this Pokedex entry about it chilling by nearly 10 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, God. Is this gonna be cooler talk, first of all?
No, this actually has nothing to do with my cooler, but if you put a Gengar in a Pokeball, does it make the Pokeball cold?
Yeah, it gets frosty.
It's like a frosted mug.
Yeah.
No, I want to know, like, all right, they're clearly being specific with, like, nearly 10 degrees Fahrenheit. A, I doubt it, because this one I'm sure is also killing people. But B, is there a kid just, like, out there with a Pokedex waving a thermometer around a Gengar?
Among all these 10-year-olds who are completely exaggerating everything, there is one who actually is scientifically measuring and getting data.
Yeah, and everybody comes across him, and they're like, boo, nerd.
Yeah, he actually brought a thermometer, and he's like, oh, my God, nearly 10 degrees Fahrenheit. And they're like, shut up.
Yeah, that's like actual interesting science about the impact that it has on the world around it. And then the next kid goes out there and is like, I don't know, it's like scary or something.
The next one is like, this shelter literally can't get attacked.
If you were to take a Gengar's temperature, would you do that orally or rectally?
Because it's gaseous, I would assume. I think you could stick it anywhere you want.
Oh, slutty little Gengar. Getting into some game data, back to everybody's favorite, Agatha. She's got two of them.
Agatha has Haunter and Gengar.
Well, two Gengars.
Oh, yeah.
Gengar? Gengars?
Gengarn.
Dengar. That's Star Wars.
A gaggle of Gengar.
This thing was quite a formidable opponent to go against, because if you use anything physical attacks, which 1999 and you have no idea what the difference between physical and special attacks are, and you're just, you know,
yeah,
punching
you just
a ghost.
Attack. Yeah. When I was using normal moves that just go right through it, and I'm like, what the hell? None of these normal moves work.
What do you mean headbutt doesn't work on this ghost?
And not only that, so it has high special attack, very high speed, but it has low health. So this is a glass cannon kind of in the...
Who cares if it has low health? It's like resistant to everything.
Oh, no, I'm saying using it now, this thing is an absolute truck if you want to use it, because if you know how to hit it, it goes down easily. But if you don't, this is just doing massive damage, and it's doing it very fast.
Another note about the game, this was a title screen poke in Red and Blue.
Oh, yeah, this is one of the first Pokemon that you ever see.
If you're watching that battle sequence, little do you know, this is going to be a very difficult poke to get.
It's almost like, you know, and it's not that I watch tons of anime or anything, but usually in the anime opening scene, they will show you characters that you will not see for a really long time, kind of on
purpose.
It's
almost like a tease.
Yeah, like kind of to get you ready for like who's out there. And that's almost what you get. You're almost getting like a glimpse into some of the more powerful things that you'll face at some point.
I feel like we would be remiss if we did not at least acknowledge the infamous Clefable ghost theory.
Ah, yes.
I don't buy it.
No, I mean, it's one of those that it's just a fun fan theory. It is fun that these types of things exist, but again, this is one of those that can just be explained away by the fact that they just reused designs a lot in Gen 1.
Whatever. You're right. It's fun. It's like, okay. Nobody's trying to take it seriously or anything like that. But I do always think, like, I don't want ghost Pokemon to be like ghosts of dead animals. To me, they're ghost-type animals.
Yeah, and also we know that...
And this is why people Gengar don't is invite a grown me to parties.
Up, yeah, it's a grown-up Ghastly. It's not a dead Clefairy, because it's not like if a Clefairy gets knocked out, it becomes something else.
Last note I have for Gengar before we talk about cards, this is a Detective Pikachu poke.
Is it really?
Yes, it made an appearance,
to think back.
Which I think was a pretty bold choice for them, but it is one of the Pokemon that you see fighting in that underground fighting
ring. Oh, yeah,
in
the Fight Club thing, okay. Yeah, because we got a ton of Pokemon in the Fight Club.
That's a pretty... I mean, I get it. They have to have Gengar because it's a mascot. But, man, that's a bold choice to have something so... It's more tangible than something like a Haunter, but good for them. And it looked good.
Oh, definitely. It 3D transfers well, yeah. I want to rattle off a couple of my more favorite Gengar facts, because, like we said, this is like a Pikachu, where this is in every representation of media. So I just want to say a couple real quick.
Oh, please.
In Arceus, the Misfortune Sisters have a Gengar, and I think it's really cool to have Gengar as a signature Pokemon. It's
we'll talk about that for the card.
Gengar is also the leader of Team Meanies, the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon enemies, who we saw earlier way back when with Ekans. And Gengar is also a playable fighter in Pokken, which I really like to play.
Remember, it's not Team Meanie, it's Team Meanies. It's just some very, very rude British Pokemon.
Hurling insults across the table.
Well, let's talk about the cards to wrap it up and then discuss the family. There's a lot of cool Gengar cards.
This is another one where it seems like there are so many more Gengar cards, which there probably isn't. But I'm like, why are there so many Gengar cards?
It definitely got quite a bit of representation. It has a tag team. We got,
it's got
Gengar
a tag team
and Mimikyu. We got a VMAX with the GMAX, which is actually pretty popular. And it has an EX and a Mega EX. It's got everything.
I was going to say, you can get a Gengar in every type of rules text card. They have EX. They have V. They probably have GX. They have the V Max, they have everything.
The one artwork I wanted to talk about specifically, though, Lost Origin Trainer Gallery. It's with the Bad Sisters, whatever that group is called. I can't remember.
The Misfortune Sisters.
It definitely looks like Gengar and one of the Misfortune Sisters are sitting around smoking a bong.
It does. I mean, the sister is literally, I guess, blowing into a pipe.
Oh, no, she's definitely pulling tubes.
Gengar has very red eyes and is looking up and smiling while one in the back prepares food. The Misfortune Sisters are probably, like, really fun.
What cards did you want to talk about?
I wanted to talk about the Sword and Shield promo, because it looks like Gengar is giggling and lifting his leg to fart. Just really goes with the personality of kind of being a whimsical guy. And I also want to bring up from Neo Destiny Dark Gengar, because this is one of those where the art is so weird, because it kind of looks like a kid drew it, but in a good way.
Yeah, and it's also just such a blob.
It's just a blob with, again, like a smiley face like I would have drawn as a kid.
Are you trying to just shout out your own artwork from when you were a kid?
I actually drew this Pokemon.
I would just like to point out, though, that the weight, and I just realized I didn't look up the weight for this poke in general.
Oh, Ghastly is like the lightest Pokemon because it's made of gas.
I just saw the weight on this card is 89 pounds, and I confirmed that the weight for Gengar is 89 pounds. I thought it would have been like 5.
No, Gengar, I guess, now has a physical form, so he's very thick.
Like I said, it just gets more and more tangible.
Yeah, thick and dense.
Oh. Let's talk about the family to wrap it up. I feel like I've said almost all of my notes, which usually happens, but is there anything you wanted to get out there to share just to finish it?
I am biased, but this is one of the best Pokemon families in the whole game from start to finish. Design, story, strength. This Pokemon is everything. This is one of those that is fully popular for a reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I agree.
That
it has mystery behind it. Ghost typing has always and will always be very cool.
About 10 degrees cooler, actually.
It is about 10 degrees cooler than all the other types. no, and it just makes sense. And also, similar to the other trade evolutions, it always seemed worth it. You know, you got payoff evolving this, but I didn't have one until, I think, until Sword.
I definitely agree. I mean, this is an extremely memorable poke. The only thing I would like to point out for this family, a round of applause for the design. A, for being so memorable and sticking with so many people. I mean, all three of these pokes clearly have had quite an impact.
Incredible design. And I do want to, I just want to backtrack and shout out real quick the gold and silver sprites for all of them, because it's so incredible. And if you look at the gold Gengar, it's like one of the most iconic Gengar designs that there is.
But the icing for me is that they took something that you could put in a universe and make pure nightmare fuel with this exact design. Very, very minor tweaks.
Yes.
But they did such a good job of making them creepy and memorable and scary while still really sticking in that fun all-ages design language.
Yeah, they're still playful, which is what makes them so accessible and fun for everyone.
It doesn't have that disgusting, creepy essence to it, kind of like what we talked about for Muk. This is another example of they kept it within that fun and all ages, and it's a game, and it's like it's cool to look at while still having creepy sides.
Yeah, ultimately you're still supposed to want it. You're supposed to want it on your team,
exactly.
Or you're supposed to want to battle it. So you can't just be sitting there getting creeped out by it like certain others in this generation.
Given how they were able to draw it, it's a great addition to a team and something that is going to just stick with you in not a terrible way for a long time. I mean, clearly for decades.
I would love to shake a Gengar's hand in real life. I will say that. If I met one, I would shake its hand.
What do you think it would feel like?
I don't think it would feel like anything. That's what would be scary.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for our discussion of Ghastly Haunter and Gengar.
But we're not done with these guys, because coming up next, we have Viva La Evolution, where we discuss Gengar's other forms. It's time for another installment of Viva La Evolution. In this segment, we discuss all temporary transformations from Megas to Gigantamax and anything else Pokemon might come up with. Today, we are discussing Mega Gengar and Gigantamax Gengar in another Special Evolution Smackdown.
Both of these are pretty solid. I mean, this is a rare instance where I think that they're both...
I think this is like the first time... I mean, except for Charizard, where we didn't have the segment yet, this is like the first time where both of the forms are very good.
It was hard to pick, but I'm actually going to lean towards G-Max.
I don't even want to say that I like one more than the other, because I really like both, and I've had fun times with both of them.
Okay, that's fair enough. The only thing that irritates me with the Mega, I know this is really like nitpicky or finicky, for lack of a better word, but I feel like they had a perfect design and then they just couldn't help themselves because it's a Mega Evolution, and they were like, we need to put more. It's not crazy enough. And they had to put that giant like thing,
eye,
in the middle of the forehead. I think that it would have been perfect without that. And just because of the addition of that, I was like, all right, G-Max is going to win because it feels a little more sinister. I get it. It's a little derivative of Guzzlord, but it feels more of that playful spirit of what Gengar was, and they made it and they stopped.
This is just simply how I feel about Megas versus G-Maxes, is that Megas, they just took a poke, they just went way too far with the design, and with G-Max, they just go like a little bit far. They just kind of give us a little bit of flavor.
Okay.
What I like about Mega Gengar is this is just everything I want from a Mega design. The poke, it looks powerful, and it took the features and it exaggerates them. So now the limbs sink below the ground into another dimension. So also now, not only does it look more like Haunter, but it has this very maniacal, crazed look in its eye.
In all three of its eyes.
In all three eyes, because the third eye doesn't blink.
If you got rid of the third eye, the dinner plate in the middle of the forehead, it would probably be my favorite Mega Evolution.
That's just Megas. I guess that's one of the reasons we were not playing at the time.
Tell me a Mega Evolution that you like less.
One that I like less is, I mean, it is all of them, but for the sake of argument, I chose one. Mega Aggron, because Mega Aggron is simply a thick Aggron. There is nothing added. It's not doing anything. It just looks like a big Aggron. It looks the same.
And tell me a Mega Evolution that you like more.
There are no Megas that I like more than...
Do you want to just have the same answer for a Mega you like more and a Mega you like less of all? None.
Yes. No, but for the sake of argument, I brought up ones that I just like as well. I think that Charizard X is also incredibly cool, but this is edging it out for me because it's Gengar.
And what's our rating going to be?
This got 10 out of 10 ghosts.
All right, a G-Max I like less... I went with Machamp. This is kind of a brother Pokemon to it, but I think Machamp just loses out a tiny bit. It's still all right, but
I agree.
It just doesn't keep the same spirit going into this large evolution the way that Gengar does.
The same spirit.
A G-Max I like more is Lapras.
That's fair. Lapras is one of the best new designs.
This one was hard to come up with, and I kind of had to go a little nuclear on it because I think Lapras might be my favorite G-Max of all.
It's just simply one of the best G-Max in general. That's a hard one to argue.
Simply the best.
Because, I mean, G-Max Gengar is really cool. I don't know if I like it more than regular Gengar.
And for a rating, I went with 8 out of 10 giant swallows.
There's a respectable amount of swallows.
All right, well, that is going to wrap it up for episode 40, where we talked about Gastly, Haunter, and Gengar. Find us on TikTok and find us on Instagram. We are at Pokedex Pathfinders. We will post little teasers and clips of the most recent episodes and sometimes upcoming episodes when I remember to.
When we remember.
Send us an idea for a hypothetical and we'll use it on the show and we'll give you a little shout out. And we like to send people stickers, so we'll be more than happy to send you some stickers for that.
Don't be scared to haunt us on Instagram with your messages. Feel free to send them to us.
I'm a little scared.
Give us all of your gas.
Yeah, don't do that. That's going to wrap it up. I'm Ben.
And I'm Andy.
And we'll catch you on the next one.
See you.